Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris with the Real Life Mentoring Podcast. And today we are with Nate Brewer again on The Working Genius. This is the third part of a three-part series. So, Nate, welcome back. And we're going to finish out talking about The Working Genius today.
Thanks. Good to be here again.
So let's do this, because hopefully people will have listened to part one and two, but to solidify these together, let's give a brief introduction to what is the Working Genius again?
Working Genius is a framework for work that helps teams become more cohesive, more productive, and also more fulfilled in their work because they discover what type of work brings them energy and joy. Most businesses have teams that aren't productive or as efficient as they could be, and they aren't maximizing their potential. Maybe they're frustrated in their roles or not working well together. So Working Genius solves that problem by helping teams become more productive, more cohesive, and therefore becoming more fulfilled in their work. The term working, of course, applies directly to our work life, which is a majority of our waking hours, and genius, something you're naturally gifted at. So it's kind of a productivity tool with a personality touch, I think I said on the first episode.
Okay. Well, you answered my second question. Why is this important? And you just answered that. I will tell you, as I was thinking about our time together this morning on this episode, I find myself tired over the last few weeks. And there's different reasons for that. But I was looking at part of it. And I think some of it is that I have been working over the last probably 2 weeks or so out of my working genius. You know, sometimes we have to do that. But I think I've done it too much, and I have found myself more mentally, emotionally, and physically tired. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think when you say working out of your working genius, you mean working outside of your working genius, right?
Yes, my particular areas that fit me. And I did not think about that until this morning in preparation for this. So I'm a very practical guy. So I want to go, okay, let me back up. And I know I have to work outside my giftings sometimes just to get the work done, but I've been doing too much outside that in the last few weeks, and it's showing.
Exactly. Itself. And I remember from your assessment, the top two are your discernment and invention, and the ones that are draining for you are enablement and tenacity. Should we give the listeners a quick review of the six?
That'd be great.
Okay. So we've got, first of all, just wonder. And as you're listening, you can be thinking, is this me? Does this describe me? Wonder, it all starts with wonder, identifying the need for change. So people wonder by asking big questions and wondering if there could be a better way. And responding to that is the genius of invention. So people who are gifted in this area generate innovative ideas and solutions to those questions that the wanderer comes up with. Out of that flows discernment. You might have a lot of ideas generated and you need to discern those ideas. Is it the right idea? Is it the right timing? So they assess the workability, the viability of the idea. Then comes galvanizing, which is a genius that rallies and inspires. So it gets people going in the right direction and pushes them to action. Out of that flows enablement. And enablement is a very people-oriented genius. It helps support and encourage and implement the idea or solution. And last but not least, tenacity. And that ensures that the idea or the solution gets completed and that the results are achieved in the right time.
Okay, just how you describe those, I believe that in the last couple of weeks, I have focused more on galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity without even realizing it.
Yeah.
And it makes
sense. That could be why you're feeling drained. Yes.
Yes.
At least part of the reason. There's a lot of factors going on in life.
Sure. But you know, it's interesting. Life's going to happen. That's just how it is. And things are going to come about that are difficult or challenging or frustrating or discouraging. And so that's a part of our life. But mixed in with that, if I could learn, and I'm continuing to learn this, to work in my area of strengths more, it would help balance that out, correct?
Very much so. And you're really hitting on why it's important, because you can maximize your joy and your energy and therefore your fulfillment in work if you're able to focus and operate in those geniuses as much as possible. As you mentioned, there's sometimes tasks that just need to get done. You can't avoid them. You can't outsource them. You can't delegate them, especially if you're a solo entrepreneur or situations like that, where the boss asks you to do something, you've got to do it. but you want to focus in the area of your geniuses, and that really maximizes your joy and fulfillment, which is a big USP of the tool.
Okay. When we were putting notes together about these episodes, you talked about relationships, specifically marriage, I believe. And so Fahrenheit Real Life Mentoring is about relationships. Mm-hmm. And so let's talk about that, if you would, to take the working genius and put it, overlay it in relationships and what that can look like.
Yeah. As you said, this model really helps us understand people better. So it's key for relationships, and that's why it's so relevant for our audience, for Fahrenheit Mentoring. It's great to have tools or even personality profiles that help us understand. It gives you a kind of a jump start if you're a mentoree or a mentor, or just relationships in general. And so specifically when we're talking about marriage, a very close, intimate, daily relationship, if we can understand our spouses better, well, that's a win-win for everyone. So taking the assessment, for example, helps you learn about yourself and your spouse. In episode 2, we did kind of a live coaching of the assessment for you and Christina, and there was a couple aha moments. And just a quick story from my marriage, my wife has a genius of discernment, one of them, and one of my top geniuses is invention. So I'm constantly coming up with new ideas and constantly coming up with solutions as well. And the ideas that I sometimes pitch, or these new solutions or visions or ideas that I have, my wife will often assess or refine or improve those ideas.
Okay.
But for so many years, it felt like she was just kind of shooting it down. It was like, nah, it's not going to work. Now I realize she's just using her genius of discernment. And often the idea didn't work, but she just had this intuition of, and this gut feeling that's not going to work, or it's not the right timing, or from those 5 ideas, 2 are good. And she would just naturally assess the viability of my ideas. And I often felt offended and often felt discouraged by her discernment and by her assessing all of the ideas. Now we have a language for this. And we even just used it yesterday. We're in the kitchen. I had this idea and she said, yes. Mm-hmm. And I could tell she was being very intentional with her words. And she said, I would like to suggest we improve that idea by, and then she gave me the kind of the 2.0 version of the idea. So it can be such helpful language.
Okay.
Help us understand our spouses better and to work together. Because in essence, a lot of what marriage is, or a large part of what marriage is also a working relationship. If you're talking about finances together, if you're talking about planning a vacation together, if you're talking about raising kids together, this is all work, actually. And so understanding what roles, who is going to do in the marriage is very helpful. And after you take an assessment, it's helpful then because you can not only learn your spouse better, but you can then adjust those roles and responsibilities in your marriage.
I have discovered that, and this just makes sense. Life's going along in my marriage, you know, but then a certain amount of stress comes in. And unless I'm deliberate about remembering and respecting how Christina is wired that way, then it will irritate me or frustrate me, or I will make assumptions. But when I go, wait a minute, this is like, I think hers is tenacity, I think.
Mm-hmm. With discernment and discernment and tenacity, right.
Yes. And so her tenacity, which is a wonderful thing, has actually pushed back on me sometimes, especially in moments of stress. And I've got to learn to just back up and go, wait a minute, this is actually good. So has your wife's, you said her language with you in that kind of situation, has it changed because of this education with these tools?
Exactly. Yeah, it's helped us. It creates mutual awareness.
Okay.
That's a good way to say it, because she understands in that moment, I'm inventing in this moment. And she is discerning then. And if she understands, hey, all of these ideas I'm coming up with, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to implement them all, but I'm just inventing. I'm in my flow of invention. And on the flip side, I understand she's not trying to shoot up down all my ideas. She's trying to actually discern them, assess them, improve them. And so that gives us a mutual awareness and a mutual understanding. It reduces guilt and judgment upon one another. And we learn to appreciate one another more. So whether it's a marriage or relationships at large, this tool really helps us love people and their strengths and give grace for weaknesses and appreciate one another more.
Okay, let's go to the aspect of teams, because whether we work with a large team or just another person, it's a team at some point, and we need to get our work done. We want to enjoy our work and have success. And if we don't know some of these things, we can sabotage, actually, I believe, the success of what we're trying to do.
Definitely. All teams want to be productive and all teams want to be healthy. And a large part of being part of a team is the relationship dynamic and then the productivity dynamic. You got to get work done, as you said, and then it's you're working with people. So sometimes people are messy. Sometimes people clash. This tool not only helps us understand one another better, but it actually gives us a simple workflow, which increases productivity, and it helps us work better together, collaborating. So for example, this is a tool called a team map. So you can take the assessment, and if your whole team takes the assessment, then this really unlocks the working genius for teams, because it generates a team map and you can see where there's strengths, where there's gaps.
Let me clarify something you said just a minute ago. Did you say so in working, so we have relationships obviously, but we want productivity as well.
Right.
If I only focus on productivity and I ignore the relationship aspect of it, we're going to have problems. And that happens a lot in the work, in the workplace.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to sacrifice one for the sake of the other. You need both. And so Working Genius has implications for teams in two areas, more than two areas, but we're going to focus actually just for this podcast on two areas. One is the team map, which gives a visual overview of the whole team's geniuses and frustrations. And we're going to talk for a brief minute about the genius of meetings after this team map. So it's okay. I'll share the team map with the audience.
Okay.
So this is just an example of a team map. You see in the middle, going down the middle, WIDGET, those stand for the geniuses, wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, tenacity. And then those are mapped out, starting with the upper left, wonder. On this team, you have one member of the team, Yasmin, who has the genius of wonder. And you have three members on the team that have it as a frustration. So the implications of this with only one member having the genius of wonder and three with it as a frustration, this team needs to ensure they're making time to ask the right questions and identifying the right problems before moving to action. So on a team dynamic, then this team should ask, are we tapping into Yasmin's gift for our projects and initiatives? And are we really solving the right problems? Because solving the right problems starts with asking the right questions, and this individual is going to be gifted in that. Let's take a look at another example.
Nate, could I interject something here? Just looking at this, so Yasmin, the wander is her genius, and three others, that's their frustration. I could see, if we're not careful, we could make Yasmin feel ignored, overlooked, and not valuable because, well, the three of us see it this way, correct? And Yasmin's going, yeah, I could just see where that could impact a relationship.
Yeah. Because take, for example, what if the person there, Ross G, is actually tasked with leading the meeting, but this is actually a frustration for him. And then it renders the meeting frustrating for him and ineffective for the team. Let's look at another example, a team map. Here's Yasmin again over at Galvanizing. You see, it's actually a frustration for her. But on the positive side, there's five people on this team that have it as a genius. So they have a very strong representation in Galvanizing. They know how to stir up energy and momentum, but need to be careful not to rally around the wrong thing. So this team should ask, for example, in the past, have we galvanized ideas that we had not fully discerned? Or do we keep stirring up energy around the same ideas and initiatives without taking the time to wonder and invent? So these are just key questions that when you have this as a visual, they come forth very clearly.
As a nonprofit, we obviously have to have board meetings, and I have seen board meetings go a totally different direction than I had expected and planned and hoped for. And I think this is part of the reason. In ignorance, some of this happened. Mm-hmm. Someone with this aspect of a working genius just ran ahead, and it frustrated the entire room. And we've left board meetings before that were not enjoyable. Yeah. And caught me by surprise, actually, and frustrated me as the leader.
Yeah. It's a great example. Now, here's an interesting scenario. You see discernment there in the middle.
Yes.
Nobody on the team has that. So there's a gap. What do you do? You can hire from the outside, but that might be a longer, lengthier, and financial costlier process.
Okay.
You can borrow in an ideal world from another team, different department, someone you know has this genius to temporarily solve that gap. But you definitely, at least in the immediate situation, want to do your best as a team to put on the discernment glasses or a discernment hat and try to think in this mode.
Okay.
So the team is in general going to have trouble refining or evaluating or selecting the right idea because there's nobody on the team with this genius. So this team should ask, how does a lack of discernment explain past frustrations or failure? How can we ensure ideas and initiatives are properly vetted before we start implementing? No one has this genius, so no one's going to do it naturally. So we need to think as a team, how do we ensure that ideas are properly vetted before we start implementing them? So these three simple examples from a team map that show us, in one sense, just big picture overview, where are our geniuses and where are our frustrations, but then also key questions that we need to be asking as a team.
So I could see where a team would take this assessment and they would be given their results. And again, and I'm still doing this, I need to learn, continue to learn, understand what that means for me and how that affects my role on the team. And then each team member, I can see where we would need to discuss that numerous times to really get a good grasp of it.
Yeah, it's great to have a printout of it hanging in the meeting room.
Because human nature, I think we want to go back to what we know, well, our giftedness, and then instead of trying to adapt. It's a deliberate action to adapt.
It is, and you said it in different words, but it also helps us understand when, not just to use your genius, but also when, the timing of when to use it. That leads me into the application of meetings, actually, because most teams have four types of meetings. You have kind of a quarterly or maybe a yearly offsite. So nonprofit, you maybe have one yearly face-to-face board meeting a year where you have kind of zoom out, big picture. Let's look at our successes. Let's look at the vision. Let's look at where we're going and asking questions like, you know, are we living up to our potential? What are we missing? Things like this. So these are big picture questions. And how Working Genius can really play a fantastic role in meetings is to, in order to make the meeting really effective and also fulfilling, to align the genius running that type of meeting. So to give that example, the big picture yearly offsite, that would be a wonder or inventor type of meeting. And if this isn't making sense yet, let me give a couple more examples. So you have maybe a leadership meeting or a team meeting to tackle one specific problem. So this is a second type of meeting. Most teams have kind of a strategic meeting. Hey, we have a problem. We need to focus on this topic and we need to brainstorm solutions. Well, this is great if it can be run by an inventor and a discerner, because those with invention are going to generate ideas and those with discernment are going to discern the ideas if you're strategically looking at this one problem.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, said we want meetings to be effective and fulfilling. Both.
Right.
Because when it's fulfilling, it motivates people and it stirs them to want to give more and to want to connect more and work together.
Yeah, I think we were joking the first episode that we'll talk later about how to make your meetings not suck. And this is what we're getting into now. Meetings suck if the genius running it clashes with the type of meeting. It's frustrating for everyone and it makes it inefficient too. So the third type of meeting, most teams have like a weekly staff meeting.
Yes.
Where everyone knows kind of the big picture goal for the week. You're asking questions like, are we moving the ball forward? Are we accomplishing this goal for the week? And you want this is going to be a GET meeting. So someone galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity.
Okay.
Those three are going to be in the main focus here. And last but not least, most teams have a daily check-in meeting. Hey, what's everyone working on today? What needs to get done today? So it's a very execution oriented, meaning quick communication, but it's all about execution. And so that is that's a tenacity meeting. You want someone with a genius of tenacity running that, because they're not going to waste time asking big questions or brainstorming with new ideas. It's just, hey, what are we going to get done today? It's all about achievement and execution. So there's significant takeaways for six types of working genius when it applies to meetings. It really makes them more fulfilling and more productive.
I saw that play itself out 2 days ago. So Christina is taking a sabbatical for about a month from work for her health. And she and I needed to meet because we work together and to determine what needs to be done, what can be put on the side. And in that meeting, she came very much in her role of tenacity.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, boom, imagine. Boom. And yeah. I was like, wait a minute. And I'm trying to think. I'm just trying to discern some details. I think some of my wonder came in. And she's like, no, boom, boom, boom. And that's
just get this done. Yeah,
we do. We have a few days this week to decide priorities. Let's get this done. And then during the month of September, Chris, you can do the wondering and discerning and those kind of things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys will do well in balancing each other out to have Christina be in that role of tenacity, the daily meeting of what needs to get done today, and then clarifying what needs to be achieved. She's going to be able to get things done well for you guys and for the nonprofit.
Okay. Any other thoughts on any of that concerning teams, relationships?
Yeah, it's such a simple tool. That's partly what I love about it too. It's something you can understand in a matter of hours, then apply it directly to your work. It releases energy and joy, and it's directly applied to your work. So for the teams, it's really where the magic happens, able to unlock the magic for teams.
Because we train people to be effective mentors, and I still mentor guys individually at the same time. I want to be more deliberate about understanding my own working genius, because I will impact those guys in a maybe deeper way, more effective way, by understanding myself more. But I want to find out what their geniuses are as well.
Yeah, that'll give you insight into how they tick, and you'll be able to mentor them more effectively.
Because it's easy to make assumptions about people. Well, he or she said this, or they didn't say this, or they did or did not do this. And we can make assumptions and be off. And that's happened. I'm a very good mentor because I have a lot of years of experience, but I've made some mistakes. And I've had wrong perceptions of people. And I believe that sometimes I haven't understood them well. And this is a tool that will help me understand people better.
Yeah.
Nate, tell us about some resources if people want to take this further.
This productivity tool with a personality touch has kind of exploded in the past years. It's relatively new. It's only 4 years old. But there's over 1 million people that have taken this assessment now. So that's a great place to start. Is to take the assessment offered on my website. And then also the original creator of Working Genius, Patrick Lencioni, has a fantastic podcast around this that I can definitely recommend. So if you go to my website, I have a link to their podcasts and to videos and articles. But I would say the first step, take that assessment, because that really makes it personal, makes it relevant for your life. But for those of you who already listening to great podcasts like Fahrenheit Mentoring and want to add another podcast, can definitely recommend Six Types of Working Genius podcast as well.
Okay. So that I've taken the assessment. I'm still learning. It's very fresh with me, but knowing that there's a podcast with episodes geared toward this, that's where my next step is to help me understand it and grab a hold of it more effectively.
Definitely. Okay. Definitely. I would say, throw that podcast on when you're driving in the car or when you're cleaning up the kitchen or whatever is convenient to you. And then for you as well, after the assessment, the next step after the individual assessment is a team, that team map that you saw. So you put you and Christina up there, but maybe even, I know you guys have others in your nonprofit that are certified mentors in Fahrenheit Mentoring and maybe even the board. Then you look at your whole team as a big picture. That would be a great exercise for an upcoming board meeting or yearly offsite.
Well, you can hold me accountable on that. That is really an important next step. So for me, I think I would need to gather our small staff plus our board, and we're going to be adding some new board members. So to me, this is a great beginning for adding new board members as well.
Yes, definitely.
To understand one another. And I can tell you as a leader, I have not led as effectively at times with the board and with people we work with at times. I've gotten too focused on my gifting and I've overlooked other people at times. And yet it's interesting. I sound complicated when I say that, but I'm very deliberate about trying to understand people individually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I'm in a hurry, when I'm stressed, when I want to get something done, I will overlook the giftings of other people. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah. That's human nature. Don't beat yourself up too hard, but that's the good, that's the ideal to strive towards that we all want to pursue for sure.
Well, any other thoughts before we close?
Yeah, we had talked about what could be something special for your audience, for the listeners,
yes.
A bonus to offer the Fahrenheit Mentoring Podcast community. And I thought for the third episode, I could say the first three people
who
share this Fahrenheit Mentoring episode on their social media, so Facebook, Instagram, whatever you have, will receive 33% off from an online workshop for their team. So that is also, I forget to mention that, in terms of next steps or resources to continue discovering, is to take your team through a workshop. But the first three people will share this on their social media will receive 33% off from an online workshop for their team. So just send a screenshot after you share it on your socials. Send that screenshot to my email or to Chris's email, and we'll make it happen. We'll make it happen.
Okay. And that does not, I'm not included in that. I can't count one of the first three. Anyway.
Well, if you're the first, no, definitely. We'll work something out, Chris. We'll work something out.
And
so do it for your board and nonprofit.
Again, this is the third part of this series on the Working Genius. So Nate, I want to thank you again for sharing your working genius with us. And I understand more open doors are happening for you using this tool. And so I'm excited about that for you. And so we'll have information, links for Nate's work with Working Genius for you to contact him as well. So I want to thank you for joining us today. If today's episode has been helpful, would you please like, subscribe, and share this with others? And if you want more information on mentoring, you can go to fahrenheitmentoring.org, which is our website. So I want to thank you again, and thank you for listening.